on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, welcome to a championship week edition of the Auto Bid. I am Aaron Robinson, joined as always by my twin brother Andrew Robinson. Today we got a treat for you guys, man. I'm sure all you guys watched Peter Kiss and that spectacle that was the Brian Wagner NEC championship game. We're gonna be joined by Peter Kiss as well as his head coach Jared Grosso. In an interview later, man, obviously they're fresh off the NEC championship game. So super excited to get you guys to that interview. But it's championship week, man. Bids are tickets are being punched. Bids are being grabbed in these leagues, man. And it's a lot of fun, man. So definitely going to dive into all of those tournaments, the ones that have already been punched. We're going to look forward to some tournaments that haven't been punched yet. And we're gonna give you guys some preview content for that. But before that, I want to remind you guys, as always, make sure you guys are subscribing to this podcast, giving us a like, a retweet, a rating on social media, wherever you get this podcast, man. Please tap in with our content on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, wherever you're listening to us, man. Please give us a 5-star rating, subscribe, hit that like button, man. It does go a long way, man. So as well as that, make sure you guys are streaming my guy Pull Up Tay's music. His new project, Why Stop Now, is out on all platforms. So make sure you guys are streaming his music, man. It's one of the hottest artists coming up out of the DMV right now. So make sure you guys are tapping in with my guy's music, man. But like I said before, man, a lot of content to get into, a lot of stuff to break down, man. So I'm going to go ahead and toss it over to my guy, Drew, to kick us off.
Hey, man, you know, we've had a lot of basketball, you know, being played, a lot of bids being punched, man. So, since we're obviously going to have Peter Kiss and them on, we got to talk about that game a little bit, man, versus Wagner, man. I mean, that was probably the most surprising result. Man, I watched that game from tip to finish. And, Brian absolutely jumped out on Wagner, man. Got to a 36-6 lead in the first half, and the game was pretty much over from there, man. Saw some fans fighting in the stands. You know, I think, to say the least, man, I think, you know, Peter Kiss proved why he deserved to be the player of the year in the NEC. I think Alex Morales had an exceptional season. But I think last night, man, he definitely kind of used that as motivation to propel Bryant into the NCAA tournament, man. Being able to avenge a loss on that very same home court that he lost to Mount St. Mary's on last year, man. So kudos to Bryant and obviously Coach Grosso and Peter Kiss and Charles Pride and the whole gang, man, for punching their tickets to the NCAA tournament in convincing fashion over Wagner.
Not for sure, man. I mean, I think last night, you know, luckily I was at a CA tournament watching that Delaware UNC Wilmington final, which was at 7 o'clock, and we had 3 7 o'clock championship games in the same window. We had Brian Wagner, Delaware UNC Wilmington, and of course Northern Kentucky and Wright State and the Horizon League were all playing at 7 o'clock. So, you know, obviously I was, you know, present at the Delaware UNC Wilmington game, but I definitely had that Brian Wagner game on in the background. And luckily, I didn't have to watch the second half because of the way that Bryant came out in that first half and punched Wagner in the mouth, man. They were up at one point in time 36-6, and I was like, okay, well, this game's over, you know what I'm saying? So I could focus on the CA championship game in Delaware UNC Wilmington. Ended up being an outstanding game, and obviously the Wright State Northern Kentucky game was really good as well. But thank you to Peter Kiss and Bryant for you know, not allowing us to have to focus on 3 championship games at one time and only allowing us to have to focus on 2. So because that was definitely a great favor. So I want to shout out to Peter Kiss for that. Shout out to my guy Tristan Freeman, who pointed that out last night in our group chat as well.
Yeah, now we're going to run through a couple of the other championship bids that were punched. But before, I got to ask you about the state championship, man, because obviously I was also watching that game. And what do you think about UNC Wilmington's execution down the stretch? I mean, they had two opportunities to kind of take the lead or tie the game. You know, they were down by one, and they pretty much went with two back-to-back isolation plays. No ball screen, no action, just one-on-one, go get a bucket. I mean, what do you think about that late-game execution there?
I have to say, man, people have been asking me about this last night. I was like, yo, they've been doing that all year. Like that's not anything new. Like, that's how they play. Like, that is literally how they got to this point. Like, I watched them earlier in the year versus Towson, and they were down, I want to say it was like 9-10 points. With like, I think the under 16 media, they said, you know what? F this. you can't guard us one-on-one. We're going to put my best players against your defenders. And we're going to see who wins the battle. And in that game, Shaquem Phillips completely took over the second half. They had him on an ISO first. I think it was him. And I think it might have had Ryan Allen on him, I want to say. And he took him one-on-one. Didn't get a stop. He said, all right, well, Jalen Sims' turn. Gave it Jalen Sims. He tried to go one-on-one, and it didn't work, man. But obviously, Sims had an outstanding tournament. He was on the conference, the all-conference team in CAA, man, and he was a first-team all-CAA member. I love Jalen Sims, man. I mean, I'm going to record right now. I think he's one of the best players in the CAA, and we've been obviously debating in the group chat all weekend about, you know, if he were to transfer. I don't have any information. I don't think he's going to transfer. I have no idea if he is going to transfer or not. But if he would transfer up, I think he's somebody that can make an impact at the next level because of his size. That dude, like, when I watched him at Towson, obviously you're up a little higher in the stands. So, like, you're not on the floor. That dude is huge, bro. Like, he's, like, legit 6'6", swole, can handle it, can shoot it. So, I love his game. But, I mean, look, at the end of the day, man, I think any coach would ask, you know, if I got my best player playing one-on-one for a bid, like, I'll take that, man. If he makes it, you know, we go to the dance. If he misses, then we go home. I think most coaches would take that. So, like I said, they've been playing that same way all year, man. And obviously, credit to Delaware for getting those defensive stops when it mattered, man, and for really, really, you know, turning the season around because they were one of the worst defensive teams in the conference all regular season, man. But they were able to put together a masterpiece on defensive end for three straight nights and come away with that CAA championship. So kudos to Martin Inglesby and Delaware for being able to get that done.
Yep. Now, in a couple of least, you know, less surprising results, Gonzaga was able to get the bid out of the WCC, defeating St. Mary's. South Dakota State completes the perfect season in the Summit League, and they get a victory over North Dakota State in the game that was actually a lot more closely contested than people think. I mean, that game was a one-possession game for majority of the second half, coming down the stretch, and North Dakota State actually had a couple chances to kind of tie or take the lead late, but Coach State was able to kind of pull that out in the end. We got to mention this, man. I got to stop here. We got to talk about this one, man. Probably the most exciting game of the entire weekend was Chattanooga and Furman. Obviously, we're still going, man, but David Jean Baptiste was able to hit an absolute prayer to beat Furman, man, after Mike Bothwell, I mean, made the game-winning layup that most people thought was a game-winning layup with 4 seconds left, and then Jean Baptiste comes down and bears a three-pointer that send Chattanooga to death, man. I mean, what were your thoughts on that game?
Man, my heart breaks for Furman. Like, breaks for Furman. Like, they've never been to the NCAA tournament. And this was probably their best chance at doing so, man. And like you mentioned, man, Mike Bothwell thought he won the game. I mean, like, they were ready to celebrate and cut the nets down. And, man, for Jean Baptiste to go down there and hit that shot the way that he did, man, was that was our first true March moment. Like, we haven't really had a March moment until that shot by Jean Baptiste, man. And that shot is going to make the One China Moment clip for sure. We can see it in a few weeks. But, I mean, that's a shot that he'll remember for the rest of his life, man. Anybody that knows me knows that I've been on the Furman train for about 2 years. I was on them last year. I was on them this year the whole way. And, man, they were that close to cutting down the nets, man, and winning the SoCon. And my heart just breaks for them, man. I mean, I can't even imagine what that must feel like in that moment. To go up two, you got 4 seconds to play. You're thinking you're about to just go down and get a stop, and Jean Baptiste, man, just hits a prayer from the 5 second line, man, and send him to the dance, man. That was an unreal sequence. I was at the CAA tournament watching that game. And I forget who was playing at that time. I want to say it might have been College of Charleston and UNC Wilmington. And me and my guy Nick Lawrence of Mid-Major Madness were sitting next to each other. We're watching the game, and literally we both screamed, "Oh!" People were like, "What's going on?" Like, on press row, we were like, "Yo, like, that's crazy." It was nuts, man. So, man, what a week, what a game, man. And that was a heck of a shot to end that game by David John Baptiste.
Yep. Another school, I mean, like you mentioned, Furman trying to get back to the NCAA tournament, man. Longwood was able to punch their first ever ticket to the NCAA tournament, winning the Big South undisputed. They got a 21-point victory over Winthrop, 79-58. We mentioned the Horizon League. Obviously, Wright State was able to get the win over Northern Kentucky in a game where Northern Kentucky, you know, had pretty much, you know, pretty good control of that game for much of the second half. But Wright State goes on a run, ends up winning it. Loyola rallies and defeats Drake 64-58 to get the automatic bid out of the Missouri Valley. And a lot of people were questioning, you know, if they were going to win the Missouri Valley after they kind of limped to the finish down the stretch. Obviously, Northern Iowa won the regular season, but, you know, they pull it out. Murray State, no surprise, completes the undefeated season and wins the OVC. Georgia State gets an automatic bid out of the Sun Belt. But one league that we did not mention yet that is, you know, the most unique is the Atlantic Sun. And where Bellarmine wins the Atlantic Sun tournament title, but can't go dancing. They beat Jacksonville in that championship game. So one would think that they ought to be able to go to the second place team, the runner up, but no, it actually goes to Jacksonville State, who bowed out in the semifinals of the A-Sun tournament, but received the automatic bid because they won the regular season. I mean, what are your thoughts on this, Ace?
A joke. It's a joke. Like, this is why teams don't play in their conference tournaments. Like, this is why Merrimack in the NEC is in a similar situation. Obviously, they came up from D2, I want to say 2 years ago, and they can't play in the NEC tournament for this exact reason, because if, by some strange reason, that team wins the tournament, now you're looking at a situation like this where it's you cannot tell me, like, how can you look Jacksonville in the face and say, yeah, you guys aren't going to the dance? Because, well, first of all, they lost to Bellarmine. So, like, why can't Bellarmine go to the dance? Like, they won a tournament. They should be going dancing. But if by some – by you want to say, all right, you know, the D1, you got to wait your pay 4 years, whatever. How is Jacksonville not going to – they beat Jacksonville State head-to-head. Like, that's nuts. That's crazy to me. Like, I don't know, man. I think that's one of the – but it's crazy because I was talking about this with Sean Paul on After Dark last Friday. And I was like, yo, like, on the one hand, it's like, all right, like, how much stock – because for Jacksonville State, for example, you go 13-3 in the Atlantic Sun, you win the league, and you lose in the conference tournament. Like, I feel like, all right, like, do you value the body of work more in the regular season more, or do you value the conference tournament more? Because I think there is something to be said about these mid-major leagues. How can you say, like, all right, team like Jacksonville State that, you know, dominated the conference all year, won it outright, and then, you know, they can't go to the dance? Like, I don't know. So it's one of the, you know, the biggest paradigms in mid-major basketball, because you have these situations like this. But I think this is a disaster for the A-Sun. Like, I think for them, like, this is you want to avoid the situation at all costs. And I don't know why they even let Bellarmine compete in the tournament if you weren't going to let him go to the dance. So that's my two cents. I don't have all the answers. This is definitely not – this is above my pay grade. You know what I'm saying? So I need to ask Mark Emmert about this, because, you know, I think he'd be more suited to answer this. But, you know, Mark Emmer is MIA in a lot of things, you know, these days. So who knows if he's even around to answer a question like this.
Yeah, I agree, man. Definitely a travesty, man. But I'm happy for those guys at Bellarmine, because nonetheless, they can't go dancing, but they do get to hang a banner in their arena for winning the the A-Sun. You know, get a little nice A-Sun tournament ring. And, hey, man, you get to go out with your last game being a victory. Unless they get invited to the NIT or something like that, which also
I hope they do. I hope they get to go to the NIT, because, like, come on now, they should be able to play some more basketball after they won in the league.
Right. I agree.
And Jacksonville State won. They're going to the dance, so that would have been the AQ for the A-Sun. So send Bellarmine to the NIT and let them play some more basketball, man.
Yeah, I'm with that, man. But so far we have 10 bids punched, like we mentioned earlier, one of those being the NEC championship. So, without further ado, we're going to get you guys over to our interview with Bryant Men's Basketball Head Coach Jared Grosso and Peter Kiss right now.
All righty, guys. As promised, we are here with Bryant Head Coach Jared Grosso and the star of last night, Peter Kiss, my former teammate at Quinnipiac. And the Bryant Bulldogs are officially the NEC tournament champions after winning the regular season, man. So, P, I'll start with you, man. Just talk me through the emotions last night, man. I know, obviously, for you, it's been a long journey through college, man. And never got a chance to make the tournament. So, you know, what was last night, you know, like for you, just being able to, when that buzzer went off, knowing that you were able to punch your ticket to the dance?
Yeah, it was just emotional. It was rewarding just to know that all the hours I put in and everyone on this team has put in has sort of come to fruition. And, I mean, that guy right there, Coach Grosso, I can't thank him enough for everything he's done for me in my life. And we just want to keep this thing going, but extremely emotional.
Now, for you, Coach Grosso, obviously, you know, this is your first job as a head coach, man. Obviously, with an assistant for a while. And for you, you know, your first time going to the dance, man. I mean, just what was going through your mind last night, you know, just being able to accomplish, you know, what you guys were able to do, you know, last night?
you know, I was happy for these guys. They worked so hard. And, you know, when I took over here, kind of had a vision of doing that and having a sellout crowd and cutting down nets. And we talked about it for 4 years. And thankfully, through recruiting, we're able to bring in guys like Pete and Chuck and Hall and Luis and guys with the toughness and a chip and an edge. And these guys worked so hard since we lost that championship game last year. They were so committed and putting so much work, and just happy to see those guys enjoy that moment and be a part of that. And I've talked to them about it. Like, cutting down the net is one of the most special things you ever get to do, winning a championship game like that. So to see these guys I love and care about have the opportunity to do that was really special for me.
Now, Coach, I mean, you mentioned it just now. I mean, after losing last year in the title game to Mount St. Mary's, this season wasn't easy, man. I mean, you guys had Pete in and out of lineup for different points in the season. Obviously, Hal was also out of the lineup for a large chunk of the season. You guys were down late in the game versus Mount St. Mary's in the semifinals, and obviously split with Bryant in the regular season. And last night was able to, you know, punch him in the mouth early and get a win last night. But just talk to me about the ups and downs of the season, man, and how you guys were able to overcome all that, you know, despite the obstacles and be able to win last night.
Good question. To be honest with you, we needed that. Like, we had to go through some things early in the season to get where we are now. And I said it to our team. I told our staff, like, I knew we were going to struggle early on. We didn't have Pete for the first couple of games. We were a little disjointed. Then we had a bunch of guys sick, the flu, with strep throat. Then COVID hit. We lost a couple of games because of COVID, had guys out because of COVID. Pete missed a couple of games in the middle of the season. Hall got hurt. So we just kind of bought into the daily, let's work, get better today. Let's keep working. And this team needed to go through some things to improve, to grow as a team. And I think as the season got on, we got more connected because we went through so much. And you need a little bit of adversity sometimes for your team to grow and evolve. And this team needed that. And we grew from it. And, you know, down the stretch, Pete's leadership and his toughness kind of propelled our guys. You know, he showed up every day knowing that we're on a mission to win a championship. And this group competed like that down the stretch. And it's the reason we're able to put ourselves in the position we're in.
Now, Pete, for you, obviously, you know, the big storyline last night was, you know, you had a huge game. And obviously, Coach Gross, I talked to you about this like a couple weeks ago when the award came out. But, you know, Alex Morales obviously was player of the year and you ended up on the first team. And obviously, last night, it felt like it was a little bit of a statement game for you. Talk to me a little bit about that aspect of it, if that, you know, played into your into it at all last night, and just what it meant to you to be able to, you know, to win last night and be able to, you know, accomplish the ultimate goal of winning the NEC.
Yeah, at the end of the day, winning a championship is the most important thing, something we talk about in our program every single day. You know, the awards are just awards. At the end of the day, they don't really mean much. Congrats to Alex Morales. He's a hell of a player on a great team, but I'd rather win a championship than a player of the year any day of the week. And I mean, that's what Coach Grasso does. He wins championships, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. But as far as the motivation, yeah, it was a bit of motivation going into the game, but at the end of the day, you got to focus that into winning the basketball game, and I think that's what happened last night.
Now, I want to ask you, Pete, like, you could have left last year. You didn't have to come back for this season. I mean, you had a great year last year, and you probably could have left and made some money this year playing professionally. I mean, what made you want to come back for your fifth season, I believe, or sixth year, I believe, of eligibility this season at Bryant?
Yeah, I think just finishing the job. When Coach Grosser recruited me, that was our conversation sort of about winning a championship, and we were very close to it last year but didn't get to accomplish that. I think coming back this year, that was the ultimate goal and the only goal. So I think just losing in the championship and having that feeling of being not good enough or just not having enough to cut down those nets really made me want to come back and finish the job with Coach Grosso. And that's what ended up happening. And I'm just so happy for everybody in the program. And all of us really deserve it. Everybody in our program really deserves it because we put in more time than anyone in the country.
Now, for you, Coach, obviously, this is year four of your time here at Bryant. And we took over the job the year prior, but Bryant only won three games the year prior to you taking over the job. And then I believe you had the biggest turnaround from year one to year two in the NCAA that year. And obviously, first time winning 20 games this season. I mean, talk to me a little bit about just the process and the journey of building this program over the last 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, when I took over, I had a vision of what I wanted our program to look like. And a lot of it comes with guys buying into your vision. You know, like everyone talks about culture, and culture is your players. Like, I can have whatever vision I want, and if our players aren't bought into the work ethic and the time it's going to take and how hard we need to work and compete, then it doesn't matter. And I've been blessed to have guys who believe in the way we do things, who love being in the gym and want to be good and want to work. Like, we won this championship in the summer when Pete and Chuck and all these guys stayed for the whole summer to train. We won this championship when Pete's back in the gym at 10, 11 o'clock working out. Chuck's back at 3 a.m. working out. That's when the championship was won, not last night. It's the extra time these guys put in, the extra work these guys put in. And Pete this summer changing his body after the championship game and getting stronger and all the work he put in the weight room. Like, those are the things that led to this point. And I tell them all the time, it's all in the work. And it doesn't just happen because we played well yesterday. We played well yesterday because of things we've done since the day we lost to Mount St. Mary's last year. And that's a credit to our guys and their work ethic and their care factor for winning. And they showed that as the year went on, and it grew and grew as the year went on.
Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Charles Pryor. Obviously, he was outstanding all season for you guys. And obviously, in that two-game stretch where Pete was out, he had three straight games. He scored over 30, and he obviously landed on the first team All-NEC team. He last night had 13 points, 17 rebounds. Game before that, 24-10. Game before that, 24-8. Game before that, 20-8. I mean, to talk about, you know, what he's meant, you know, to you guys all year, even in that semifinal game where Pete didn't really have his best night, you know, Charles stepped up, you know, in a huge way for the team. So I'm talking a little bit about what he's meant to you guys all season long.
I mean, Chuck is a dog. I'll go to battle with him any day of the week. And whatever needs to be done, he'll do. You know, like you said, last night he had 13 points, 17 rebounds. We needed to rebound the ball. Pete was out. We're going to have trouble scoring. He goes and gets 44 at St. Francis, PA. That's Chuck every day. He shows up. He competes. He works. He wants to be good. And he's just a junkyard dog. You know, like, he's one of those guys who, you know, when the lights go on, he's going to compete. And those are the kind of guys you want around you in your program. And he's continued to get better every year and then work on his weaknesses and made them strengths. And he's going to continue to improve. And like Pete, go down as one of the best players to ever put a Bryant jersey on.
Now, Pete, for you, obviously, we spoke about this, you know, during the year. And obviously, when Chuck went on that run, you were like, you know, man, when I come back, I don't want to mess up the rhythm. Like, he's been awesome, you know, and our team has been winning. I don't want to mess that up. When you came back, now, obviously, you went on your own, you know, run there to close the year. I think it was like 6 or 7 straight 30-point game or something like that. But how did you kind of incorporate yourself back into the lineup after missing those games and seeing what Chuck was able to do while you were out of the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, Chuck was unbelievable when I was out and has been unbelievable the whole year. So I didn't want to take anything away from him coming back. But getting back into practice and getting back into the swing of things, it just became sort of comfortable just playing with him again. And it was just a thought, but I mean, the more time you put in the gym, the more comfortable you get. And as practice went on, I got more comfortable and just got back to, I guess, playing the right way.
Now, Coach, you've been in the tournament as an assistant. I mean, what are you looking forward to as far as getting there as a head coach? You know, what do you think it'll be like? And I guess, what are you looking forward to most when you guys hear your name called on Selection Sunday and then get out to wherever you guys are placed at in the tournament?
Just looking forward to competing again with these guys. I've loved coaching this group and just loved seeing them evolve from some struggles early on to the group we've become. And excited about the fact that we get a chance to go compete on the biggest stage. NCAA tournament is the best, to me, the best sporting event there is. And to do it with a group of guys that I love, not just as players, but as people who, again, a lot of these guys took a chance on a program that had won 3 games and then won 10 games. And they believed in a vision and what we're trying to do here. And they bought into trying to turn this into a championship program. So really looking forward to going to compete with these guys again and hopefully got a few more games ahead of us.
And I guess, Pete, for you, my question would be, you know, for your first time going dancing, man, I mean, what do you think the moment's going to be like? What are you looking forward to most when you hear your name called on Selection Sunday and when you eventually, you know, get to the court and are able to play in that game?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be a lot to take in, but I think just living in the moment is going to be the key to it all. Sort of taking it day by day and continuing to get better and trying to go out there and make some noise. And like Grasso said, win a few games or playing a few games. I think that's the goal.
And for you, when you look back at your Bryant career, like, how do you want to be remembered for your time in the Bulldog uniform? What do you want people to remember Peter Kiss as?
I just want to be remembered as a winner. At the end of the day, just a winner, a champion, and someone who plays extremely hard and gives 100%, 100% of the time.
Now, Coach Grasso, I have to ask you one question before we get off of this podcast. You were a pretty good shooter back in your day, you know what I'm saying, a pretty good basketball player. So if you and my guy Pete were to lace him up right now, who wins? Who wins? And what's the
score? One or shooting contest?
We'll do a shooting contest. We'll do a shooting contest.
I still win.
Oh yeah.
I still win. I'm the best shooter on this Zoom right now.
Oh yeah.
Hey, it's not close. Hey, so you're not out shooting nobody, guys.
Hey, listen. Right now, you're probably right. Man, back in my prime, hey, we could have probably went shot for shot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Right now, it's a little different. Pete, man, you used to shoot back in the day. Don't do that. Look, back in the Quinnipiac day, me and you, you know what I'm saying? Look, we shot together a bunch of days.
You in the 80 to 85 range, Gross in the 95 to 100 range, cuz.
Out of 100?
Oh, come on, bro.
Out of 100? Gross, like you said, 95 out of 100?
I can still flick it.
All right. Well, listen.
We're talking about one-on-one. It's a whole different story. But if we're just shooting, I'm betting on myself any day of the week.
All right. Well, listen, we might got to get some footage of that, you know what I'm saying, when you guys we gotta get a chance. We might got to do a little shooting contest up there in Smithfield and see who's the winner, man. But I definitely want to ask you guys, do you guys have any plans for do you guys know what you're doing for Selection Sunday? You guys going to have something on campus or – what are the plans looking like for that?
Yeah, we're setting something up on campus right now, so hopefully we should get a pretty good turnout. We're going to invite the students and the community, and should be a good night and celebrate our wherever we're going to play, and then we get our game plan going and get prepared.
It's awesome, man. Well, congratulations to you guys, man. It's been super fun watching you guys, and obviously for Pete, just watching you grow over the past, you know, 4 years since playing with you, man, and super happy for both of you guys and all you guys have been able to accomplish, man. So best of luck going forward, and hopefully, you know, guys can get a nice draw and make some history up there in the NCAA tournament.
That's the plan.
Appreciate it, Ace.
Thanks, Ace.
No problem at all. All righty, guys. That was Peter Kiss and Jared Grasso, man. Peter Kiss and Drew and I go way back to our Quinnipiac days, man. It's just amazing seeing him, man, seeing his growth from being on the all-rookie team in the MAC as a freshman, man, and That team was special, man. Peter Kiss averaged 13 a game on that team. Mikey Dixon was the rookie of the year in the league in the MAC that year, averaged about 16 a game. He's over at Idaho, man, doing great thing. He just passed the 1,500-point mark for his career, man. So both of those guys have had outstanding careers, man. It's been a pleasure to watch those two guys grow up and see the things that they've been able to accomplish, man. But for Peter Kiss, man, last night watching him, you know, go on and make a statement, man, because he got robbed. Like, he got robbed for that NEC Player of the Year, man. Plain and simple, man. And it's a shame that it went that way, but like I said, he had the last laugh, because I'm sure that even if you had Alex Morales, I'm sure Alex Morales would trade that Player of the Year to be going dancing right now. So you heard Peter Kiss say that on the podcast. You know, he would rather have this ring than the Player of the Year award. So it all worked out in the end. You know, Morales gets the individual goal, and Pete Kiss is going dancing. So kudos to him. Kudos to Jared Grasso for the job that he was able to do, and super happy for those guys, man, and super excited to see them in the tournament on a national stage.
Yeah, man. I mean, Pete Kiss is going to be a March darling now after his performance going for 34 last night in the NEC Championship game and all the antics that came with it, man. You're going to have a lot of eyeballs on him in the NCAA tournament, man. And Jared Grasso was no stranger to the NCAA tournament either after all his years under Tim Kluth at Iona, man. So those guys are going to score a lot of points. So, you know, be careful, man, whoever they see. They're probably going to get, I would assume, probably the playing game. So should be some fun basketball in that first playing game in Dayton. And then, you know, should be some fun basketball, man, if he gets in the NCAA tournament, you know, and gets to maybe see a 116. You know, we'll see, man. Maybe we could provide some fireworks, man, for the nation's leading scorer.
Nah, for sure, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to watch him. I can't wait to see, you know, what he pulls out in the NCAA tournament, man. But there are more bids to be punched, man. And there's a bunch of tournaments that are still going on. So, we're gonna dive into one of those that's getting ready to get going. That's the Conference USA. So, Drew, man, what are you looking at for the Conference USA?
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, no Texas had a slip up last game of the season, the regular season, excuse me, against UTEP, man. And I've seen a lot of people that are just, you know, crowning UAB as the champions, which I think is a bit disrespectful to North Texas, man. Obviously, we talked about this, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, on the auto bit about, you know, kind of how North Texas has kind of gotten slighted despite, you know, winning the regular season in Conference USA, despite being the defending Conference USA champions. And I'm still rolling with them. You know, I think that they should be the favorite going into the Conference USA tournament, and I'm still picking them to cut down the nets out of Conference USA. Obviously, we'll have to see, you know, basketball game to be played, man. But I think, you know, for people, everybody, you know, pumping the UAB stock, you know, I think you guys just slow roll a little bit. You know what I'm saying? North Texas is still the defending champs, and I'm rocking with them.
And I agree. I think I'm rocking with North Texas too. Obviously, they're going to be a team. Both of these teams are going to be desperate because I think UAB is a team that definitely is not on the at-large radar right now. They're sitting at 55 in the net, 21-7 overall. They're only 4-3 in quadrants 1-2, 7-4 on the road, 1-1 neutral site. So they're definitely not in the at-large picture. KenPom has them at 53. And for North Texas, they're in a little bit better shape. They're at 39 in the net, 21-4 on the year, 9-0 on the road. That's a big number because the committee says that they value road wins. So they got 9 of them right now, 2-2 on neutral court, 6-3 in quad 1-2 games. So they're in a little bit better position, but definitely, I think a loss for them would you'll be sweating on Selection Sunday if you're North Texas, man. So I think they're going to be a team that's going to be looking to go out here and leave no doubt and go out and get that automatic bid. So I think the only way that they could survive is if they maybe made a run to the championship game and maybe lost to UAB. Then I believe maybe it'll be real close, but you don't even want to let it get to that point. So I think if you're North Texas, you want to go out there and leave no doubt, man, and try to, you know, get the automatic bid. So Conference USA will be a fun league to watch. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how that ends up shaking out. You know, seeing if we get a UAB North Texas title game, because that would be absolutely electric if it happened.
Yep. Now, from one conference with a team trying to leave no doubt to another, man, in the MAC, Iona is obviously the heavy favorite. Most people are picking them to kind of win the league. And the MAC tournament got started off last night, and we already have an upset. You know, Quinnipiac pulled up the first upset of the night. You know, the 11th seed Quinnipiac Bobcats were able to get a 25-point victory over Marist, man. I'm going to tip my hat a little bit because I did pick this upset, you know, on the Monmouth podcast earlier in this week. You know, I actually picked the Quinnipiac going all the way to the semifinals. I picked them upsetting Marist and upsetting Siena in this next round as well. So, you know, first half of my prediction came true. Had a huge game from Jacob Bergoni. Fairfield was also able to get a win over Canisius, advancing to the quarterfinals. But Ace, man, I mean, what are you looking at in the MAC? Are you seeing upsets on the horizon? Do you think anything, you know, out of the ordinary could happen? I mean, what are you looking at?
Look, I'm looking at that potential semifinal matchup between Iona and Monmouth. If everything, you know, works out that way, I think that's going to be that. I mean, look, coming into the, you know, to the MAC conference season, you know, Iona and Monmouth were the two best teams in the league at the non-conference session, man.
Monmouth has to beat Iona first.
Yeah. I would say
that's going to be a tough game. Yeah. Monmouth and Iona. Did you know this? I know this. Marcus Hammond is E.J. Crawford 2.0. He wanted to come to Monmouth, was begging to come to Monmouth, was shadowing, I think it was Ray Saladin on visit. King Rice didn't offer him, and he's been scorching Monmouth ever since. The MAC, I think he's averaging 20-plus per game points. I learned this on the podcast this week, man, and they said he's going to be coming with the vengeance versus Monmouth in this quarterfinal matchup, man. So don't be so quick to pencil Monmouth into that semifinal round, man, because Marcus Hammond could be looking for blood.
Hey, you aren't wrong. Last time Marcus Hammond saw Monmouth, he had 27 points, 5 rebounds, hit 4 threes, and Niagara won 70-69 in overtime over Monmouth. So they split the season series. So I'm not saying it's a cakewalk by any chance of it, but if there's one game that I want to see in the MAC tournament, it's Monmouth and Iona. I mean, we've all heard, you know, the noise from George Pappas all year. We had him on earlier in the year, man. He wants Iona. You know, I'm upset that couldn't be a potential championship game, you know, but obviously, Iona swept Monmouth in the regular season. They beat him twice. So, you know, it's hard to beat a team three times. I went to that at the CAA tournament firsthand this weekend, man. A bunch of teams that have beat teams twice. Obviously, Hofstra beat College of Charleston twice. Charleston got him in D.C. Towson had beaten Delaware twice. Delaware got him down there in D.C., man. UNC Wilmington had beaten Delaware twice. And Delaware got them in a championship game. So, that was, you know, the theme down there in D.C. is, you know, the only team that won after the beating a team twice was UNC Wilmington, who beat College of Charleston for the third time down there in D.C. So, you know, it's hard to beat a team three times, man, but I'm looking forward to that potential semifinal matchup if Monmouth can avoid being upset by Niagara and Iona can avoid being upset by Ryder, which I don't see, you know, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Obviously, the MAC tournament is always wacky, so you never know, you know, what we could see up there, but that's going to be a super fun game in the semifinals matchup if it happens.
For sure, man, for sure, man. Now, from one former conference that we used to play in to another, man, the MEAC tournament is getting kicked off tonight. Our Coppin State Eagles are going to face the Howard Bison tonight in a 7-2 matchup. I mean, I think there's a lot of potential upsets. I mean, obviously, like I said, Coppin State's the 7th seed, and I like them over Howard tonight. I like them over Howard tonight. If they do win this game, man, then they'll see the winner of North Carolina Central and Maryland Eastern Shore, which I think is another winnable game for Coppin State. On the other side of the bracket, you got Norfolk State and AT Delaware State and Morgan and South Carolina State, man. So I think Norfolk is obviously, I think, going to get that victory pretty convincingly over Delaware State, man. But I don't know, man. I mean, do you see Norfolk coming out of the MEAC? Do you think somebody else could surprise them and steal the bid? Like, what are your thoughts on the MEAC?
There's two teams that I think could surprise Norfolk State. One of them is Morgan State out of Baltimore. Morgan State is playing some great basketball right now. They're probably the hottest team in the MEAC right now. They've currently won four straight games. That's the longest streak in the MEAC right now, man. And they just beat Norfolk State at their place on February 21st, man. They beat them 85-74. So split the regular season series with Norfolk State. And obviously, those two teams played for the championship last year. Kevin Brodus and Rob Jones are two great coaches, man. And Morgan obviously has – I said they're looking for some revenge, man, after last year's, you know, defeat in the title game, man. So that's one team, man. And the other team, as much as I hate to say it, you know, because they're playing Coppin tonight, and we talked about how hard it is to beat a team three times. And Coppin has obviously beaten Howard twice this year. They're going to get Jesse Josrader back for this game versus Howard, which is going to be huge. And if there's one team that could beat, you know, somebody three times, it is Coppin State, because they are going to get Jesse Josrader back in this matchup. But if Howard is able to advance, they are a dangerous, dangerous team, man. And I think, like I said, Kenny Blakeney, I've spoken about him all year, man, the job he's been able to do with this program in year, I believe, three now at Howard. It's truly impressive, man. 16-12 won the year, 9-5. They had the conference rookie of the year in Elijah Hawkins, man. They have a first-team All-MEAC player in Kyle Foster. And then also have, obviously, Steve Settle and Randall Brumont. Both of those guys are outstanding players. I believe both of them ended up landing on one of the all-conference teams. So they're very talented, very well coached, very disciplined. And Norfolk did beat Howard twice. So, you know, obviously Norfolk would be going for a third victory against them. But I do think Howard is a team that could cause some trouble as well as Morgan State.
Well, I mean, we've already seen one Mike Brady disciple and Martin Ingles be punching tickets to the NCAA tournament. I don't think Hank Blakeney coached under Mike Bray, but obviously, you know, the matter of connection and, you know, King Blakeney has spoken already publicly about the impact Mike Bray has had on his life, man. So we'll see if another Mike Bray disciple can punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament and King Blakeney and Howard, man. But last but not least, man, you're going to be covering the A-10 tournament this weekend here in D.C. And obviously Davidson gets the number one seed. They won the regular season title, man. But VCU is a team that a lot of people are picking kind of as a sleeper pick, or, you know, kind of a team that can kind of win the A-10 and upset Davidson. I'm looking at the bracket right now, man. I mean, if George Mason can get by Fordham, that George Mason Davidson matchup could be a tough one. Obviously, Joshua Dura was named to the Atlantic 10 first team, becoming the first player in George Mason history to make the All A-10 first team in school history. Obviously, we got St. Bonnie's, who's sitting at the 4th seed, who could be, you know, we could be seeing a potential St. Bonnie's Davidson semifinal matchup that would be very, very fun. But for you, Ace, I mean, we were looking at in the A-10. Is Davidson your team to beat? Do you have them coming out of the A-10 and then punching their automatic bid to the NCAA tournament?
I just want to say the top half of the bracket in the A-10 is a bear. You have Davidson, St. Bonaventure, St. Louis, and George Mason all in that one upper quadrant of that bracket, man. That's going to be a bear to come out of, man, for whoever comes out of that out of that side of the bracket, man. And we're talking about a potential semifinal matchup in the MAC. How about a potential matchup in the semis between Davidson and St. Bonaventure? I mean, that would be must-see TV. The seniors of St. Bonaventure, the honor that, they've been through over the last 4 years, coming off of the A-10 championship last year, and then Davidson, obviously, with the season that they've been able to have, you know, winning the league in the regular season, man. I mean, that would be a bear of a semifinal game between you know, Bob McKillop and Davidson and Mark Schmidt and St. Bonaventure, man. I mean, that would be must-see TV. So, I mean, look, as much as I want George Mason and Kim English to advance, and even a game with George Mason and St. Bonaventure would be fun to watch, because I saw that game down here in Virginia, and it was a very closely contested game, man. But if we get that semifinal matchup between, you know, Davidson and St. Bonaventure, and listen, St. Bonaventure is going to have to get by St. Louis, which is the 5 seed in that region. So that's definitely no cakewalk either. Obviously, Yuri Collins is an outstanding point guard, and Travis Ford is a great coach, and those guys have had a great season as well. So, like I said, man, the top half of that bracket is a bear, man. We're going to get some great matchups down in D.C., man. I'm super excited to get down there and watch it, man, because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, guys, you heard it here first, man. It's going to be a lot of exciting basketball to play. A lot of bids will be punched in the next coming days. Selection Sunday is right around the corner. Make sure you guys are following us on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, for all of our content coming around this March Madness time of the year. That's going to be all for myself, Andrew Robinson, and Aaron Robinson. Make sure you guys are subscribing to the podcast, sharing this podcast, telling a friend to tell a friend. Again, we want to thank Peter Kiss and Jared Grasso for coming on. Congrats to them for winning the Atlantic 10. But without further ado, we're going to let Pull Up Tay take us out with some music. Until next time, folks, next time you see us, man, we're going to have a bracket. We're going to be doing some predictions and some, you know, trying to figure out who's going to be this year's Cinderella. So can't wait to see you guys next week.
Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You beating on me?
I can tell.
It's time to get a check, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You beating on me?
I can tell.
What's the topic of discussion?
What we talking about?
Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy.
Discussion.